Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football with the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament, now history. Teams are turning their attention to qualifying for the 2020 African Nations Championship, or CHAN, which will be hosted by Cameroon between January and February. A reminder for our VOA football fans, unlike the Cup of Nations, the competing national teams in CHAN must be composed of players who compete in their domestic league. So, for example, a Cameroonian player is eligible to play for Cameroon's national team only if he's playing for a Cameroonian club. In one of the CHAN qualifying matches this weekend, the Ocean Stars of Somalia will host the Cranes of Uganda. Because of security concerns in Somalia, Saturday's match will be played in Djibouti. Ugandan players and officials say they will not underestimate their Somali opponents. Magumi Davis Rakawinj reports from Kampala, Uganda.
Uganda Cranes acting head coach Abdallah Mubilu instructs his players to attack during a practice match with the local club Proline FC at Nelson Mandela National Stadium on Wednesday afternoon. The Cranes are training for their game against Somalia this weekend. One of the players here is forward Alan Okello. Okello, who just helped his club, Kampala City Council FC, win regional club championship, the Kagame Cup, believes his experience will be vital when he features for the Uganda Cranes.
The Sekava game, most players for the national team be there in their games. So it was a great experience for me as a player and a good one. Good one for my team coming back as champions. That job well done, and now we are back in the CHAN qualification. We need to do all our best and work so hard, concentrate, be efficient enough, and we need to win our games so that we qualify for the CHAN.
Uganda Cranes assistant coach Livingstone Babas says Uganda Cranes players are in a good shape to beat the Somalis, but he says they will not underrate their tomorrow's opponents.
And the team is progressing so well, but even if the team is progressing so well, we should give respect to the team you're going to play, because Somalia is a team that I coached for 1 year. And the national team has been in camp preparing for this game against Uganda.
According to the latest FIFA rankings, Somalia is ranked 202, 132 places below Uganda, which is at 80th position. Uganda Cranes captain Timothy Awanye, who played at the recently concluded AFCON finals in Egypt, says he and his teammates are up to tomorrow's task.
As the players we are set, we are progressing and actually catching up each and everything our coaches want us to do.
Abdallah Mubilu, Uganda Cranes coach, agrees.
Players are focused, looking forward to get better results. Everybody is willing to work to the expectation of a national team player. There's a lot of cooperation in the team, and that is very encouraging.
He says the Cranes will ensure they get a point so they can play with less pressure when the two teams meet again in Kampala in a week's time. Tomorrow's game will be played in Djibouti because of security concerns in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu. The CHAN tournament will be hosted between January and February 2020 in Cameroon. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Magume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magume, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Elsewhere in African football, the Lions of Teranga of Senegal, runners-up to the Desert Foxes of Algeria at the recent Nations Cup tournament, remain the number one ranked team on the continent. In the July FIFA rankings, Senegal's Teranga Lions are 54 ranking points ahead of Tunisia's Carthage Eagles. Samson Omale tells us more. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. Senegal broke into the top 20 in the latest FIFA rankings, earning themselves the position of the number one ranked team on the continent. Newly crowned African champions Algeria were the biggest movers, going up 28 places to number 40 in the world and number 4 on the continent. Nigeria, who finished third in Egypt, went up 12 places to 33 in the world and third in Africa. Also moving up 12 places was the Barea of Madagascar, who occupies the 96th position in the world and 18th on the African rankings. The Carthage Eagles of Tunisia, the other semi-finalists at the Nations Cup, were second in Africa behind Senegal, but moved down 4 places to 29th in the world.
Thanks, Samson. And I hope you have a sporty weekend, too. One of our big African soccer stories this week was FIFA banning the former head of the Liberia Football Association, Moussa Bility, for 10 years and fining him $500,000 for corruption and misuse of funds. In an interview with my VOA colleague James Buddy, Bility firmly rejected the FIFA decision.
Well, I think it's unfortunate because the basis for the decision is not true. It's baseless. It's contrary to the fact. And the fact that FIFA will say that I did something in 2014 and they will act against me in 2019 says it all. The truth of the matter is that I seem to have disagreed with FIFA on some very pertinent issue regarding the governance of African football. So just 24 hours after I had filed a lawsuit at the Court of Arbitration against FIFA, this is the reaction that they gave the world.
So you think this is a retaliation against you?
It should be seen that way. I mean, I don't have to make that judgment. I mean, FIFA, according to them, they had a judgment. They investigated a case almost a year ago. Can we ask them why they were holding on to this judgment? Can we ask them why did they take the action that they took on a judgment that they have concluded almost 10 months ago and yet did not run down the decision until I disagree that African football must be governed by Africans but not by any kind of imposition?
FIFA has fined you $500,000. They claim you misappropriated FIFA funds and that you receive benefits. Let me get you to respond to that.
It is total false, it's baseless, it's malicious, and it's contrary to the facts. The fact that FIFA ignored those facts, they were presented to them, the audit report is there, the forensic report is there, the witnesses of each member of the executive committee, their witnesses, their testimony, their affidavits are there. FIFA ignored all of that. And the fact that it took 10 months to come with the decision just days after I disagree with them, tells it all.
They said they were trying to be thorough with their investigation. So the money they say you misappropriated had to do with monies given to FIFA's campaign against Ebola and other monies for the Liberia Football Association. So you disagree with that?
Guess what? The FIFA Ebola money is $50,000. I, Moussa Bility, as an individual, had absolutely nothing to do with any money from LFA for the 8 years that I was there. I never took salary one day. I never took benefits. If you check the FIFA audited financial statement of LFA, you realize that the Liberia Football Association owes me personally $380,000. So to take a $50,000 case and say you find someone $500,000, it just tells you how baseless the decision is and how malicious and ill-intent the decision is. And I intend to fight it for the sake of my family, to ensure that I have clarity and to ensure to those who have respect for me and those who follow me around the world, and I assure them that this is not true. And as I've always done, I will fight this until the truth comes out.
What remedies do you have? Do you intend to
the
appeal
remedies
to
are there. I can go to the Court of Arbitration and I can go as far as the Supreme Court. I will leave no stone unturned to prove to the world that this is total misjustice, and I would not sit down to let it happen.
That's Moussa Bility, the former head of the Liberia Football Association, and he spoke with my VOA colleague James Buddy by telephone from Monrovia. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to South Sudan, where young footballers on the outskirts of the capital, Juba, are using the sport to promote peace. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. For years, young footballers in the Korumla community have been forced to hold matches on rough and thorny grounds that, when it rained, were too muddy to play on. But thanks to the UN mission in South Sudan, the pitch has undergone a makeover. UNMISS troops from Thailand and Nepal have filled potholes, leveled the ground, and transformed the Peace Square into a fully functional football field. Player Uhuru Peter Akimo says the improvements have allowed South Sudanese youth to use the sport of football to promote peace and unify the community.
This football ground is going to promote peace in my community, in a way that many, we as a community, as Tokiman community, as Jondoro community, we are going to send letters, we are going to have a lot of what we call football competition with various communities. And we are going also to do some training, not us alone, even the school community should also, will also be training here. And that brings us together, and this can make us to interact. You know, in football there is interaction. People interact with each other. That's the good thing with this pitch.
This new approach to peace is a welcome change for the people of South Sudan. In 2013, a civil war broke out in the country where hundreds of thousands of South Sudanese were killed and millions more were forced from their homes. Last September, President Salva Kiir signed a ceasefire agreement with rebel factions that effectively ended the war. But lasting effects from the five-year conflict are still being addressed. However, Korumla Football Club Chairman Christopher Ledoux says he believes sports could be a way to help communities begin to heal.
Sports is a positive factor in the activity of the society. Based on the situation of our country, South Sudan, because of the politics that has that in our country, people are scattered. And to group up these people to come into the coexistence, all that thing has to come through sports. Sports will play a very great role because, as you can see in our team, we have already a football team on ground.
Last week, Ledoux's club took part in friendlies in Peace Square to inaugurate the new field, and player Simon Sandi expressed his gratitude for the renovated pitch and the path it gives to athletes towards building a career in the sport.
My hope is that I'm going to train harder and harder so that I'll be in the national level. Yeah. One day, my dream is to play for the national team, and with the help of this playing ground, I think I'm going to make it. And thanks to the people who constructed it.
And the new construction is not exclusive to just football. Peacekeepers have also designed a volleyball area to promote that sport in the community as well. What a great story. And that's all for me. I'll hand it back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. And I hope it's a sporty weekend, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to PCUSA@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. On the sporting front, I can report that Heather Maxwell enjoys surfing when she's not spinning those great African tunes on the weekend. We'll have to get Heather Maxwell into the studio right here on the Sunny Side of Sports to talk about her surfing experience. I can see Heather waxing up the board, making a splash off the coastlines of Africa, the United States, and all over the world. Heather Maxwell, hanging 10 as a surfer. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to athletics, Norwegian brothers Jacob, Philip, and Henrik Ingebrigtsen all compete internationally under the watchful eye of their father and trainer, Gert. The brothers are proving that sibling rivalry can help produce some very fast times on the track. At the recent IAAF Diamond League meet in London, Jacob and Philip both finished close runners-up to Ethiopian runners. In the 5,000 meters, 18-year-old Jacob Ingebrigtsen clocked 13 minutes and 2.03 seconds. Ethiopia's Hagos Gebrehiwot was the winner in 13 minutes and 1.86 seconds. And in the one-mile run, 26-year-old Philip Ingebrigtsen clocked 3 minutes and 49.60 seconds. Ethiopia's Samuel Tefera was the winner in 3 minutes and 49.45 seconds. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with the Ingebrigtsen brothers after their races. First, we'll hear from Jacob and then Philip.
Jacob, you've just broken the Norwegian record for 5,000 and you've raced Gebrehiwet right to the line. What does that do for your confidence in terms of taking on any other 5,000-meter runner?
If I'm going to be honest, it doesn't do that much. Because, you know, I'm in my own bubble before the race and also in the race. I don't consider anyone better than me until the it's proven, you know. Because I want to run faster, and this is it's a great race for me, and also to be able to compete against the very best, Gebrehiwet. He's a fast guy and really experienced. So, but I'm new to the game, you could say, at this level. But I'm hopefully running even faster in the future.
You know, some might say some non-African runners feel beaten when they are on the start line against the Africans, but it doesn't apply to you.
I think that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
You're crazy, man. That guy's crazy.
What about
if you do that? You have lost many years before even going to the start line. If you want to be the best, you have to consider yourself the best. But of course, I'm not the best yet. I'm still improving, and I know that I'm able to. If I'm doing the work that needs to be done the next couple of years, I know that I'm going to be faster. So it's just for me to keep improving, and of course, to keep on running.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Philip, I mean this kind of as a joke, but given that your brother Jakob broke the national record yesterday, did you have extra incentive when you were hunting Samuel Tefera down the home straight in the mile today?
You know how it is with the siblings and the younger brothers. You don't really want to be beaten by them, and definitely not your younger brothers. So when Jacob did national record in PB yesterday, and and Henrik the same in the 5K in Belgium. Then the table was set, and I just needed to go for it. So, I couldn't be any worse than them. So,
you know, Tafera, as you and we all know who follow athletics, he's a world indoor champion at 1500. Do you think on another occasion you have the beating of him? Do you feel so confident?
I think if things turned out a little different during the race, I could have managed to beat him. But today he was stronger than me. And I'm just looking forward to the next couple of races against him and definitely the world. So then he won't be getting it that easy.
Just lastly, I mean, how do you plan the rest of the season leading up to Doha and the World Championships? Do you have a lot of races, or are you then going to take a break and rest up for Doha?
We're having a small break now. Me and Jacob especially have been competing quite a lot lately. And now we're going back home, relaxing for a couple of weeks training, and then we have the Nationals, and then going back up to St. Moritz for some more training, and then Paris and Diamond League final, and then it's only the World Championship that's...
Can I put in one more last question? The Ingebrigtsen family as a whole, have you always felt confident as a unit? You know, growing up when you were a little boy, all of you, was confidence something that you all worked on?
I don't know if it's something we're working on, but we're seven siblings, and you need to fight for your position at the dinner table. So if you just go hiding, then you wouldn't get any dinner. So maybe it's the way of we've grown up. But of course, also by Henrik and Jacob doing so well, it gives me a lot of confidence that our training's been going well, and that I'm capable of doing at least as good as them. So I think we're like building each other up, and that helps the confidence.
Philip, thank you very much. Thanks.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for those interviews with Norwegian brothers and top international middle distance runners Philip and Jacob Ingebrigtsen. Philip and Jacob spoke with energetic Andy at the recent IAAF Diamond League meet in London. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, that Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of me with Peter Agamile. Peter stopped by our Voice of America headquarters on Thursday for a visit. Peter is a loyal and longtime listener from Uganda. Peter told me he first started tuning in the Sunny Side of Sports way back in the 1990s. I showed Peter a few of our studios, as well as the sporty wall gallery by my award-winning colleague and producer this evening, Bill Werkinger. Bill is getting ready to head out next week to the City Open Tennis Tournament. That's the big annual professional tennis tournament held right here in Washington, D.C. Among those who will be competing is none other than Andy Murray. Andy will be competing in doubles with his brother. Other top players scheduled to compete in Washington is the Greek star Stefanos Tsitsipas. So we should have some really good top-notch tennis coming up right here in Washington, D.C. And that wraps up the July 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my award-winning Voice of America producer this evening, Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Huh.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
The Science Edition of Press Conference USA celebrates the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing, considered one of the greatest achievements in human history. NASA's chief historian William Barry joins host Rick Pantaleo to discuss how the space agency was able to meet President John F. Kennedy's challenge of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to Earth before the end of the 1960s. Listen Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the largest survey of views on corruption in Africa reveals that more than 50% of citizens across 35 African countries believe corruption is getting worse. An in-depth look at corruption on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
In 1998, when Sterling Nesbitt was a 16-year-old high school junior, he took part in a dig expedition in New Mexico's Zuni Basin. During that dig, the budding young paleontologist found a unique and nearly complete skeletal fossil. Today, Nesbitt is now a paleontologist and an assistant professor at Virginia Tech. Nesbitt and his colleagues have recently determined that the fossil he had dug up over 20 years ago is actually an early and tiny relative of the mighty Tyrannosaurus rex. Scientists have determined that the dinosaur they name Susquehannas hazeleye stood nearly a meter high at its hips and was about 3 meters in length and weighed between 21 and 41 kilograms. Despite its diminutive size, Susquehannas hazeleye is said to have been much like its bigger cousin, a ferocious carnivore that ate a diet of small animals. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
The economic and political turmoil in Venezuela continues, despite international efforts to support interim president Juan Guaido against strongman Nicolas Maduro. Host Carol Castiel discusses the Venezuela turmoil with Eric Farnsworth, vice president of the Council of the Americas and the America Society, and Mark Feierstein, former National Security Council director of Western Hemisphere Affairs. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on Encounter.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA.